Last year, we began practicing the Advent season as a church, and we've continued the tradition this year. In the Advent season, you lead up to Christmas Day, which is the lighting of the Christ candle, through four successive focus areas. The first week is focusing on the concept of hope and hope in the Christ to come. The second week, we focus on the topic of peace and the peace that comes to us by Jesus Christ. Then the third week, we focus on the topic of joy, because the coming of Christ is only 1 week away, just around the corner. And this morning, we focused on the topic of love. Now we get to sum up all of these four themes with lighting the Christ candle and focusing on the topic of Jesus Christ himself. Father God, we thank you that you have sent your Son, and we ask that you would bless our time now as we seek to understand more of him from your word. We thank you for how you have graced us and been merciful to us, even though we were so undeserving. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening, I want to focus on one verse, and this is Isaiah 7:14. Reads as follows. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. This is the verse that was quoted by Matthew in Matthew chapter 1 that we opened up the service with. And it's very interesting when you begin to dig into this verse and dig into the literature surrounding this verse, because many people see this verse in one of two ways. Many people first like to interpret the verse from the perspective of the New Testament, focusing on Jesus. And of course, they take their cue from Matthew chapter 1, where Matthew says this was to fulfill what was written by the prophet. And that is how they focus on it, focusing on this theme from a Christ perspective. However, others like to focus on this theme starting in the Old Testament. That is, to begin with Isaiah and try to understand in context what was Isaiah speaking about. And if we can understand what Isaiah was speaking about, maybe that will shed some light on Matthew's use of the quotation. There are many different articles written on this topic, digging into the Hebrew words. What does he mean that a virgin shall bear a son? What does that mean for Isaiah in his time? And what does that mean for Mary and Jesus looking forward into the New Testament? Now, it is all very interesting to dig into these topics and try to understand that this might have an Old Testament reference or a New Testament reference as well. But in some ways, I think that our overemphasis on one or the other, the Old Testament or the New Testament, actually sometimes distracts from a greater reality that is found in this text. You see, something that we must understand is that when God built the universe, he built the universe with patterns. And when he built the universe with patterns, the patterns must of necessity repeat themselves. And so let's just take one common pattern in the Bible, and let me try to tease it out for us. There is found throughout the Bible a Sabbath pattern, or the idea of working 6 days and resting on the seventh day. This is actually how God created the world in Genesis chapter 1. He worked 6 days and he rested on the seventh. He built it into the Ten Commandments themselves. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And over throughout the Old Testament and even into the New Testament, we see the Sabbath pattern echoed. Now, what is being revealed here is not necessarily merely a focus on the reality of God creating the world in 6 days and then resting on the seventh. Yes, that's important. Yes, that's valuable. Yes, it's an interesting topic to dig into. But moreover, when you see the pattern, you begin to realize that it represents something greater, something deeper. For the Sabbath pattern, it might look something like this. proper progress is made in the world when a steady rhythm exists between work and rest. The Sabbath pattern teaches us that proper progress is made in the world when a steady rhythm exists between work and rest. And so the Bible exists in such a way as to repeat this pattern over and over and over again. You see, a good deal of the Bible is about giving you the patterns in various forms. You can see the pattern in the creation account. You can see the pattern in the commandments. You can see the pattern in how God's people live their lives. And so too, you are meant to see that pattern over and over and over again. And you know what wisdom is in the Bible? Wisdom in the Bible is about finding and discovering the patterns that God has created in the world and then implementing them in your own life. If you can grasp the deeper truths that God is teaching you in his Bible patterns and apply them to your own life, the Bible teaches that you will be living wisely. And so, with the Sabbath pattern, if you implement this idea, a steady rhythm between work and rest in your own life, you will do well in life. We have all seen it. Somebody who does not have the steady rhythm between work and rest, somebody who is all work and never rest, leads to many pathologies, leads to many ailments and illnesses. It leads to many problems in life. And yet we've also seen the other side of the spectrum. Somebody who is all rest and no work leads to many problems, leads to many pathologies, and leads to many illnesses. Yes, they are of a different kind, but the fact of the matter is these two people represent the same struggle or sin in their lives. They both fail to implement the Sabbath pattern. And so if we can identify the Sabbath pattern and implement it, it is going to go well for us. Now, why am I saying all of this? My goal is not to convince you of some sort of Sabbath keeping or anything like that. Instead, I bring this topic up because there is one pattern in the Bible that is the best pattern of all. This is the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the penultimate pattern. This is why Jesus, when he comes to his disciples, says, "All of the Old Testament speaks of me." Every pattern that you can find in the Bible, in the Old Testament, is repeated in the figure of Jesus, for he is the fulfillment of all of them. So, we look at the topic of Jesus, and the penultimate pattern that he represents is the idea that he is both Son of Man and Son of God. We see in this idea right off the bat that proper existence in the world consists in attending to both earthly concerns and heavenly concerns, and we need to do so simultaneously. Jesus embodies this. He is Son of Man, earthly. He is Son of God, heavenly. And as such, in his person, he represents the proper balance in attending to both heaven and earth. Now, something that is very important to see is Jesus not only represents this pattern, but he embodies it. He lives it in his life. He does it with his actions. And if you actually look at this, you can see in the Gospels that Jesus oftentimes attends to heavenly concerns. He is seen going to pray, attending to heaven. He is seen teaching the Bible to others, attending to heaven. But that is not the only thing that Jesus focuses on. Instead, he also focuses on the earthly. After he heals somebody or raises them from the dead, he then speaks to people, "Give them something to eat," recognizing that the earthly is something we must attend to as well. Jesus was seen countless times at feasts and festivals. He celebrated with his friends and family and those whom he loved. Jesus represents both earthly and heavenly concerns simultaneously, but he lives it as well. And you know what we should do? If we are going to be wise in God's world, then we discover this pattern from Christ and we implement it in our own lives ourselves. And so God calls us to attend in our lives to both heavenly and earthly concerns. Each and every one of us, if we swing the pendulum in one direction or the other, we will have many pathologies, illnesses, and problems because we're overly focused on the heaven or we're overly focused on the earth. We must attend to both simultaneously. But wait, there is more. Not only is Jesus the unity between heaven and earth, he is also born of a virgin. Again, verse 14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Why is he born of a virgin? Well, of course, this is a pattern that God has built into reality. He must be born of a virgin. In order for heaven to come down to earth, only a pure vessel will suffice. And so a virgin gives birth to Jesus because that is representative of the purest vessel that humankind has. And of course, he is born through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we see yet another principle or pattern that we can implement in our lives. If heaven will come to earth in your life, only a pure vessel will suffice. The Bible teaches this principle over and over again. It says, your body is the temple of the living God. So honor God with your body. You seek, says the Bible, to make yourself pure, even as God is pure. Why? Because only a pure vessel will see to it that heaven can come to earth. And in your own life, in your own heart, in your own existence, you can embody the Christ pattern if you will purify yourself, even as he is pure. So yes, Jesus gives us a principle here, but yet again, we should do it too. We should live it ourselves. Finally, the last area of the Christ pattern I will focus on. Jesus sacrifices himself on the cross. Of course he does. Jesus must sacrifice himself on the cross. Why? Because that is the pattern. The purest form of heavenly love represents itself in self-sacrifice. When heavenly love comes down and seeks to come to mankind and show to mankind what it looks like to love and follow God and be like him, self-sacrifice is the vehicle through which this idea is delivered. Self-sacrifice is the purest form of heavenly love, and we learn in Christ that we should do it too. We should also sacrifice ourselves selflessly for the sake of others, loving them and showing them the love and sacrifice of Christ. And so the question I have for you this evening is, have you seen the pattern? Do you believe in Jesus? Again, the question of Isaiah 7 is resolved if you recognize that this is a pattern that God has built into reality. It must happen in Isaiah's day, and it must happen in a greater way in our day and age, that Jesus would come. If you recognize the pattern, if you believe in Jesus, if it resonates with you, then you have one job: to be wise and live the Jesus pattern in your life. So sing the songs, celebrate with family, enjoy the season and perhaps some time off. But more than anything, recognize that God has given us all of the tools that we need to live life as he designed. All we need to do is recognize the Jesus pattern and apply it to our lives. Repent of your sins, put your faith in Jesus, and live with him as your Lord all the days of your life. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you have given us your word, and I thank you that you have given us guidance and direction through your Son, the living word. I ask now, Lord God, that as we reflect upon him this season, you would cause the love of Christ to ignite in each and every one of our hearts so that we might pursue you and pursue a life that would glorify and honor you. We thank you for everything you've done for us, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.